Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There's the cowbell. It's Friday afternoon. Got some rain in the forecast, but should be really nice over the weekend. And then next week, a nice cold blast is coming down here. It's going to make it feel like October, which is going to be really nice. This is Free for All Friday on our show. I'm Scoot. I'm really glad you're with us. We're going to spend the first hour talking about the debate and politics, and then we're done. Then from 2 o'clock on, we're going to just have fun on the show. And there's some interesting things that we talked about this week that we're going to resurrect again on the show today. But right now, here's all you have to do. Reach over there and crank it up, because this is what you have been waiting for. And speaking of new romances, we're going to start a Friday feature at 2:10 this afternoon with a life coach and relationship expert. Her name is Ann Parnas, and she's with Match Made in NOLA. The website is matchnola.com. This is for people who don't want to be on match.com. They don't want to be on eHarmony. They don't want to expose themselves. This is really for more discriminating people who are still looking to try to meet somebody. And you just don't want to totally be out there. And so what Anne does is she has this discreet matchmaking service. And she also coaches you. Because, like, there's a lot of men that need coaching when it comes to dating. I mean, I have a few male friends and in my life, and they've you know, told me about the men that are out there. And some men need a little coaching. Also, there are some women that might need a little coaching. So if your current approach to dating is not working, this is going to be an interesting feature with Ann Parnas. And again, the company is Match Made in NOLA. And we'll talk to her about 2:10 this afternoon. And we'll have that be our regular Friday feature for a while. Because, you know, you get to a certain point in your life. And first of all, you're busy. Or maybe you just don't want to be totally out there. But if somebody meets with you and has the ability to get to know you, and then they're meeting with other people, they're meeting with women, or if you're interested in a man, they're meeting with men. This person is meeting with people, and she's getting to know you, and she's specifically matching you with somebody she thinks you've got a good chance to have a relationship with. So it's interesting. We'll talk about that at 2:10 this afternoon. All right, so it is Free for All Friday, but let's do this. We'll talk about the debate. We'll talk about politics for this first hour. Then we're done. No serious calls about politics after 2 o'clock. Now, last night, shrouded in the repetition of rhetoric, there were a few breakthrough moments in last night's final debate between President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden. Whether it was muting the microphones during the segments of uninterrupted responses from the candidates or pressure from his closest advisors, President Trump's demeanor behind the podium was a stark contrast to the interrupting bullish behavior in the first debate. The result was the audience, the voters, you and me, witnessed a more civilized exchange between Trump and Biden. There were some moments when President Trump disrespected the 10-second time limit to respond. But compared to the first debate, it's almost hardly worth mentioning. Overall, President Trump gave a strong performance, and his level of confidence often overpowered a milder Joe Biden. The president was superior in his peering looks at Biden when the former vice president was talking. Trump's cocked head as Biden spoke can easily be interpreted as total condensation, condemnation of his opponent. The president also showed superiority when he continually referred to Biden as Joe. And Biden often referred to Trump as this guy. But I thought President Trump made it personal, and I thought this was a way of making Joe Biden seem just like just an average Joe, if you will. But the president was smart to do that. On the topic of the coronavirus, President Trump said that all Biden wants to do is shut things down. Biden responded by saying that he wants to shut down the virus and not businesses. A gasp moment for Trump came when he called New York a ghost town. Those are not ghosts. They may be Klan members hanging around your building. I don't know. But that was kind of a gasp moment, when the president pointed out that the states that are run by Democrats have the biggest problem. Joe Biden scored points when he brought up the idea that the current surge that's going on in America right now, the current surge of COVID-19 cases, is coming from red states. When Trump challenged Biden on raking in money from deals with foreign countries, Biden said that he's not taken any money from foreign governments. Biden also said that his son, Hunter, did nothing wrong. And Trump is the one who did wrong when he tried to bribe the Ukrainian government to say negative things about the Bidens. Both candidates failed to present any substantive plans about health care in America. And this is a problem for a lot of people. You need health care. I need health care. Biden did score after President Trump said that he would love to come up with a beautiful health care plan. And the president's been talking about his beautiful plan for a while. Biden pointed out Trump has no plan. There were differing opinions when it comes to affordable health care, with the president insisting that Biden wants socialized medicine. And of course, Biden defended his plan as saying it's a public option, not socialized medicine. Biden scored when he talked about the 500 plus children that were torn away from their parents at the border. And the administration is unable to recruit or to reunite those children with either of their parents. But Trump came back with a description of how well the children are being cared for, which is very debatable. But that was a powerful moment. 500 and I think 45 children are ripped away from their parents. And the administration can't find the parents. I mean, imagine being a child. Imagine being a parent and America took your child away. I know there's going to be the instant argument. Well, you shouldn't have come to America in the first place. You can make that argument. But what about these kids? I thought President Trump scored points on the topic of climate change when he pushed Biden to say that Biden would destroy the oil industry. Lower gas prices are good for many across America, but the low cost of oil hurts Louisiana and other fossil fuel producing states. Biden did make a point of saying that he never said anything against fracking and that he will not ban fracking. I think the rhetoric on this topic is pretty fracked up, if you know what I mean. President Trump made the bold statement, with the exception of Abraham Lincoln, he has done more for blacks in America than any other president. When challenged about his support of the 1994 crime bill, a bill that led to countless black males going to prison on drug charges, Biden admitted supporting the bill was a mistake. And Biden made the point of saying that he no longer believes that individuals should go to jail on drug charges because the real problem is drug addiction. I doubt many minds were changed by the debate last night, but there is that small percentage of voters that remain undecided. And with the race as close as it is, the small percentage of voters might make the difference and sway the election. Both candidates had uncomfortable moments. And the real winner lies in the party affiliation of the eyes of the beholder. Biden was sincere. At times, Trump's energy level made Biden look meek, look rather meek. And not look like he was a strong candidate for president. There are probably as many Trump supporters who will vote for Trump, even though there are things they don't like about Trump, as there are Biden supporters that will vote for Biden in spite of the things that they don't like about him. The moderator, Kristen Welker, who was complimented by Trump during the debate. I thought she did a good job. She did a better job than Chris Wallace in the first debate. When Welker told both candidates that time was running out, Biden committed the ultimate debate sin. He looked at his watch. In 1992, during a debate with Bill Clinton, President George H. Walker Bush looked at his watch toward the end of the debate, a gesture that was interpreted as Bush's eagerness to get the debate over with, that he was uncomfortable and wanted it to end. While Biden's watch gesture was a little different since it was not as random and followed an alert about time, it was still a mistake, and it gave the impression that Joe was ready to go. If there was ever a doubt about which candidate was the Republican and which was the Democrat, all you had to do was notice Trump's red tie and Biden's blue tie. At least that made it simple for the less engaged voters. 11 days before the election, neither Trump nor Biden supporters can be confident their candidate will win, no matter how much you believe in your heart that your candidate is going to win. And if you haven't voted, plan on voting. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Mortgage Financial Talk and text line is 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870.
We got about 10 seconds.
504-260-1870. And we're also going to be talking about the Saints on the show this afternoon.
Okay, we just have 10 seconds, and then we need to go to the commercial, please.
You know, the Saints are playing the Panthers this weekend. There's going to be some tailgating.
You have 10 seconds, please. Just take another 10 seconds, and then we really must continue. We have commercials we need to play.
We're going to be talking about the Saints, but when we come back, I want to get to your calls about the debate. I want to get to the debate. I want to talk more about the debate.
I'm just going to turn your mic off. I'm turning your mic off. I'm turning it off.
I want to talk about the debate last night. Hey, wait a minute.
What?
You can't turn off my mic?
It's not my fault you can't read a clock.
And there was some disagreement on the debate stage last night in Nashville. Hey, I'm Scoot. It is a free-for-all Friday afternoon here on WWL. I'm glad you're with us. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk about this $500 fine that the mayor has announced will be given to anybody who's not wearing a mask. But right now, we're spending this first hour talking about the debate. Here's an email that just came in from Mickey. Why are you avoiding Joe's stance on oil and gas? Well, we're not. We're not ignoring that at all. It seems like I just mentioned that just a moment ago. So, Mickey, to you and people like you, don't waste my time if you're not really listening to the show. I mean, just keep it to yourself and don't waste my time. If you do want to send me an email, the email address is scoot@WWL.com. But it's just so amazing to me that I just mentioned something and then somebody says, why aren't you mentioning this? I mean, this just goes to show you how low the intelligence level is for some people who are voting. I mean, I can't make this stuff up. Before I get to your calls, let's go to senior studio producer Ian Hoke with some of your text messages.
Going into the break, we got a flood of text messages that say, oh, that was funny. Y'all are funny. That guy, somebody says, that
funny.
Was stupid. I don't know what they're talking about.
We're just
taking care of business.
Well, I know. We don't do funny stuff on this show.
No, never. Irreverent?
Yeah, exactly.
Not us.
Not us.
Forget it. I got a text that says, 50 Cent says he doesn't want to be 20 cents under the new Biden tax plan.
That's funny.
I like that.
I also read that Chelsea Handler offered to, pay his taxes or pay something of 50 cents if he didn't support Trump.
Yeah, they got in a Twitter fight, which is great. Just seeing two celebrities go at it on Twitter really makes you feel like all's right in the world. We got a text that says, "Speaking of uncomfortable moments, what about the awkward masked kiss the Bidens shared at the end of the debate?"
I guess that's kind of awkward. Jill had a really nice matching mask and dress. Nice floral print on the dress and floral print on the mask. President Trump did not wear a mask, but Melania did when she walked onto the under the stage. Let's do another one, Ian.
As to last night's debate, three simple questions. Which candidate's faculties were more acute? Which candidate looked worn out from working too hard? And which one looked rested and vigorous? Which one looked more frail? No bias, just honesty, please.
Well, honestly, I think President Trump, and I said this in the blog that I wrote just a moment ago, President Trump's energy was amazing. And President Trump, and I also expressed this in the blog that I just read, that I wrote, and that's posted on our website, WFUL.com. There were times when President Trump's energy made Biden look meek. And that's not a good look for somebody running for president. From Atlanta, David, you're on WFUL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Scoot. Real quick, let me apologize to you and your audience. I said something a couple of days ago that was incorrect. Regarding Amy Coney Barrett, I said she served on a board of directors of a Christian school that didn't admit children of mixed race. That was children of gay parents. And I think that's mean and cruel to discriminate against innocent children. And how could she ever rule in the Supreme Court in a civil rights, gay rights case? Would be beyond my imagination. But getting to the debate.
Well, I would just hope that when she is seated on the Supreme Court, that she puts her religion aside and rules based on how a legal mind, a brilliant legal mind, should rule on the Constitution.
You know, if Uncle Earl Long was still with us, he would say, President Trump is the only man alive who could talk out of both sides of his mouth, whistle, and strut sitting down. What a man, what a man. Now, I don't know where to begin. There were so many lies told by President Trump last night. Example one, he said he was the best friend of the African-American since Abraham Lincoln. Well, in the Washington Post, the Trump administration has gone to court to reduce regulations, making it more difficult for African-Americans to achieve home loans and mortgages through his housing director, Ben Carson, an African-American man. Furthermore, Trump talked about how great he is on the environment. Well, the Trump administration is going to evidently reduce the EPA standards. There's something in the air that I don't quite understand called particulates. It comes from mostly from automobiles and factories, and it will cause thousands and thousands of women to have premature births. Some of these children will die, and I promise you, you won't hear a word about that from the pro-life evangelical Trump lovers. Furthermore, the Washington Post said there is no evidence that the Bidens took one penny, I think, from the mayor of Moscow that Trump made that ridiculous charge about. There's no evidence. And regarding the people, Trump said less than 1% of the people who come across the border illegally come back for trial after they're released. Well, the Washington Post said it's 75 to 85% of the people come back. Children, it's mostly children and people seeking asylum who are released. And if you have a criminal record, you can't be released. And the thing about health, may I say something about Obamacare?
Yeah, go ahead.
Most people don't realize the policies they had prior to Obamacare were junk policies. Many of them didn't cover hospital, cancer, drug coverage, pharmaceuticals, and many other ailments. But now, if you have Obamacare, and why can't the pro-life people support this? It gives women maternity coverage to have their children. There'll be fewer abortions under Obamacare. President Trump campaigned to help people with opioid addictions. 8 million people under Obamacare right now are receiving rehabilitation for opioid addiction. Trump, whoever
that was. All right, David, I'm going to have to move on. Look, there's a lot of hypocrisy with the pro-life movement. I would agree with you. Some people are very sincere, but some people in that movement are very, very hypocritical about being pro-life when it comes to some things and not pro-life when it comes to other things. But, David, I always appreciate your call. Glad you had a chance to get in. Hey, I wonder who David's voting for. From Metairie, Charlie, you're on WWL. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing? Good show.
I'm good.
As always, Scoot. Even though we disagree, it's still a good show. But you,
well, you know, you can't be right all the time, Charlie. You can't be right all the time.
You never okay. Right, because you said Louisiana's not dependent on fossil fuels. We turned $600 billion.
Wait, what did I say?
Louisiana, hold on, Scoot. I've never said this before. I have Parkinson's. I don't want pity, but
okay.
Sometimes when I get excited, I lose my train of thought.
Okay, that's all right. Sometimes I don't, and sometimes I lose my train of thought.
You said Louisiana wasn't dependent on fossil fuels. Fossil fuels
no,
generate $600 billion. Yes, you did, Scoot.
No, I didn't. I did not say that. I didn't. No, not a little while ago. I didn't say that.
Guess what? Guess what? The Green New Deal is going to kill $600 billion.
All right, but why? You know, but you call on the premise that I said something that I didn't say. So why would you attack me for saying something that I didn't say?
Still a point. But I said I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. But the point is,
you can make your point.
To the tune of $600 billion a year and 45,000 employees in the fossil fuel industry in Louisiana, school. Come on. Yesterday I called up and I said about
Charlie.
Hold on. Yesterday I called up and I said about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. And then later on in the evening you said it was all Russian and Iranian propaganda.
No, that's not true. I did not say that. Charlie, I'm glad you had a chance to call in, but you know you really need to work on being accurate, and I hope you do well with Parkinson's. But you know, I did not say the two things that you said that I said. If that's what you think I said, then I'm sorry for your confusion. But you are welcome to call the show anytime. If you want to join us, the Mortgage Financial Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. Never say that about Russian propaganda and Biden's emails. And what I said was that Trump scored points on the topic of climate control, climate change, when he pushed Biden to say that Biden would destroy the oil industry. Lower gas prices are good for many across America, but the low cost of oil hurts Louisiana and other fossil fuel producing states. That's what I said. Biden did make a point of saying that he never said he was against fracking, and he will not ban fracking, and I said, the rhetoric politics around this topic is all fracked up. From Metairie, Bob, you're on WWL.
Scoot, how are you doing?
Good.
How are you doing, Scoot? Hey, Scoot,
good.
I voted for Trump first time. I'm not sure. I'm positive I'm not going to vote for him this time. But, hey, I've been in the oil and gas business and around it for the last 40 years. And I would tell you, fracking is the least of the problems of the oil and gas industry right now. The biggest problem is oversupply, and it's going to be like that until the demand crosses the supply line. It's economics 101, and then that isn't going to change. In fact, it's going in the other direction. And as far as Charlie's saying $600 billion, the state of Louisiana's GDP, that's gross domestic product for all services in the whole state of Louisiana every year, is less than $600 billion. Tell Charlie to just look that up. We have generated $600 billion in the state of Louisiana from oil and gas ever.
Let me ask you this question, since you seem to know about the business. You know, when you know, I remember the 70s when there was a big deal about the Arab oil crisis, and you know, I had to buy a lock cap for my gas tank because people were going around siphoning gas. That's how valuable gas was. And everybody was looking for, you know, vehicles that did not burn much gas. They got a lot of mileage for gas. So did we really put ourselves in a position to where we so strive to become energy independent when it comes to oil? We so strive for that we actually created a problem for ourselves?
Yeah, well, Scoot, the problem is your primary users of oil now, besides just your vehicles, are the airlines. I mean, they're choking right now in jet fuel. We've been the world's been in a little bit of an economic recession for the last few years. Go to Europe. Look at what COVID's done. But Scoot, Charlie can call back. Tell him to quote you what the oil and gas industry is worth in Louisiana. It's nowhere near $600 billion annually. He can, if he is, quote it, and I'll listen to your show for it. But he's all wet. I'm sorry that he has Parkinson's, terrible disease. But that's just not a fact. You could probably Google up, Scoot, I'm driving, what the GDP is for Louisiana. I guarantee it's not $600 billion a year. For the whole United States, it's probably around $15, $16 billion. And the GDP,
Bob, I appreciate,
would include all the grain and everything. And Scoot is out that he's the president of the United States and not the king of the United States. Then he'll be better off as a person.
Bob, I appreciate the call. I hope you have a great weekend. So it's Free for All Friday on our show. If you want to join us, the Mortgage Financial Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm also reading some of your emails. My email address is scoot@wwl.com. So I thought we would dedicate this song to ACB, Amy Coney Barrett, who is going to be on the Supreme Court. It's just a matter of time. Yeah, she's going to be coming onto the Supreme Court. She'll be on the bench. She'll be there. ACB from Metairie. My hope is that she does not allow her religious beliefs, even though I believe a lot of what she believes, because I'm Catholic too. But I hope that she doesn't allow her religious beliefs to guide her, well, to determine what her rulings are. Because we have separation of church and state. And in cases like this, the Constitution, in my opinion, is more important than the Bible. I'm Scoot. We'll be back. This is WWL. Hey, did you hear any of those last night during the debate? We can talk about this for the rest of this hour, because at 2 o'clock, we're going to cut off the debate conversation. At 2 o'clock, we're going to weed out serious politics. I mean, if somebody wants to say something funny, well, we can do that. Or irreverent or sarcastic, we can do that. But we're going to cut the serious talk. But what was your favorite lie from the debate last night? Did you have a favorite lie? The Mortgage Financial Talk and Text from either candidate. The Mortgage Financial Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. And from Gentilly, Justin, welcome to our show. Good afternoon.
Hey, Stu, it's Friday already, isn't it? My God, it was a fast
God, week. It seemed like this happened just a week ago.
It does. It seems like it's been a month ago. Anyway, I want to talk about music. So this is Free for All Friday. I can talk about anything I want. I want to talk about music. But before I get there, I want to give a shout-out to a fellow listener, Cosmo from New Orleans. He says some very kind things about me on the air, and I appreciate that.
He has spirits,
and I enjoy his
cool.
calls, too.
Okay. Good.
Anyway,
thanks, Justin.
Here's my musical question. What song did you first hear and fell in love with and you'll never get sick of? You can listen all the time. One song.
Wow. So I was like really young. Really, really young.
You honestly want me to help you out? I'll tell you my favorite song.
Oh, tell me yours.
Okay. I heard the song is called, the title is A Promise, APROMISE, A Promise by Echo and the Bunnymen. And that album came out in 1980. And I first heard it on another radio station, a college radio station. And I fell in love with it. I still play it 40 years later. I love that song. I'll never get sick of that song.
I see, my favorite song, I wouldn't play today. I mean, it goes back to the 60s, and I would never play this song today.
But when you
ask me what is the first song that I remember falling in love with, I think I'd have to say The Duke of Earl. And I even forgot who did it. Ian, look up Duke of Earl, and let's play that going into the break.
That's a great song. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I forget who did it.
Song.
Gene Chandler. Okay, Gene Chandler, yeah. But, you know, I have on my music list today.
That's okay. But I know you're into music because you wanted to be 97. I remember you way back when. So you actually have a song you fell in love with and you'll never get sick of, and that's one of them, Duke of Earl.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there are certain songs. It's interesting that you bring that up because there are certain songs that you hear that you're never going to get sick of. And I can hear Missing You by John Waite over and over again, and I never
That's
get tired
a great
of it.
Song. That's a great song. Yeah.
But there are some songs that, like, you hear it, and it's like it's like, you know, nails on a blackboard. Or you hear it too much, but I can listen to Missing You by John Waite anytime. So, Justin, I'm going to have to move on since we're cutting all of this political stuff short. Let me go to but Justin, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Have a great weekend. From New Orleans, Mike, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Scoot?
I'm good, Mike.
Look, I don't know, Scoot, listening to your callers, I appreciate, because most of them seem like they're talking against Trump. Right, and I know this radio station is slanted their comments in the favor of the Republican, because I don't know what debate that you was looking at, but the debate I looked at, Biden ate Donald Trump up, period. And every time you showed the picture on Donald Trump and Biden was talking, Donald Trump looked like he was straight up dumbfounded, like he didn't know what to do. And Donald Trump said he didn't run for office. He didn't run for to be the president. He only ran to stop the status quo of what the Democrats doing. So he didn't even want to be president. He told you that at the debate, right? So one thing I could applaud Donald Trump for, and you know what that is, Scoop?
What's that?
At least he showed that he made the racists come out in this country, and he showed how racist this country is because they came out behind Donald Trump. And I want to thank the white folks, because what I'm listening to on your radio station, they're disagreeing with your opinion on how the debate went. They're disagreeing with you. So hopefully this will stop all of this slickery and trickery and biasness on how y'all evaluate things on this radio station after Trump is out of office.
All right, Mike, first of all, I got to set the record straight here. There's no agenda to this radio station. We're all entitled to our opinions, and it's amazing that you think it sounds like you think I'm very, very conservative, and a lot of people criticize me for being just the opposite. I was honest about the debate last night. It doesn't mean that I changed my mind about who I'm going to vote for, but I was honest about that debate. I love the people that call this show and the diversity of people and the people who are Trump haters. Who call the show, who feel free enough to express their opinions. And not everybody feels free to do that in the Deep South that is very red. So, you know, I applaud the people who feel free to express their opinions. If you want to join us, the Mortgage Financial Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870, getting some texts that say Louisiana's GDP, gross domestic product, is $240 billion. And it wasn't the $600 billion that a caller mentioned earlier. All right, so, you know, Justin said, what song do I first remember? And, you know, when I was a kid with my little transistor radio walking around the mean streets of Metairie, this is a song that I remember hearing. And this song, you know, caught my attention. And I honestly think that this was one of the first songs that I fell in love with. And I couldn't wait for the station to play it again. Because you couldn't just hear the song you wanted to hear. You were a pawn in the hands of the radio station, and you waited for them to play that song that you love again and again. And this was one of the songs, Duke of Earl by Gene Chandler. That was 1962. So, yeah, I was pretty young. I mean, this was 2 years before the Beatles hit America. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Coming up in just a little while, we'll start talking about the Saints in the game. Are you going to the game? Are you one of the few that's going to get to go to the game? About 3,000 fans. And there's going to be some tailgating, and there's some strict rules about tailgating. And also, we'll be talking in the next hour about LaToya Cantrell's announcement that you could be fined $500 if you're caught in public without a mask. I'm confused about some of those things. From Baton Rouge, Ronnie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yes, I wanted to comment about the energy part of the debate.
Okay.
It's pretty clear to me that in not the too distant future that we are going to have a viable electric car. And when that happens, all of this discussion about oil will be like gone.
Ronnie, I agree with you. I mean, we're definitely headed away from fossil fuels.
Also, there was a last week there was some type of testing or something for coal fusion that passed. So, you know, when coal fusion comes, oil will certainly be out of the picture. And it's going to come by 2050.
You know, it was interesting when we transformed as a society. You know, we went from the agricultural age to the industrial age. And then we moved from the industrial age to really the hospitality tech age. And when we moved away from the industrial age, the goal was to basically take the businesses, the manufacturing, that pollutes the United States and put it in another country to make our country cleaner. And I don't think there's any doubt. It's not going to happen overnight. But there's no doubt that we're moving away from fossil fuels just as a society, as a global village. We're moving away from that. And, you know, what we've depended on, it's interesting that we were so bent on becoming independent when it comes to oil production, that we produce so much oil and then other countries have been producing so much oil that there's too much oil on the market. You know, it's really that simple. But Joe Biden did not help himself with voters in Louisiana, Texas, and I guess Florida and many, many other states when he said that he's going to transition away from oil. There would have been another way to phrase that, which would have been better for him. But basically, Trump got him to say that he's going to transition away from oil and fossil fuels. And that was his answer to, I'm not going to destroy the oil industry. So there was a better way to word that, I believe. Okay, let's stop talking about politics. I mean, if it's something funny, if it's something fantastic, we'll let that go. But it's Free for All Friday, and let's turn our attention to this problem that I may have this weekend. If I get caught without my mask, I could be fined up to $500. I'm Scoot. We'll get into that right after the news here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.